Man, what up, though? Y'all already know what time it is. This is Sean B. Speaks Truth. I'm speaking truth like I'm in the booth with the pastor on the other side. And today, I got my main mans in the building. It's been a long time coming.
For sure, for sure.
You know, a man of the community, a man that wears many hats. We got Marv Skipper in the building. What's the deal, bro? Man,
appreciate you having me, bro.
For sure. Now, you remember when we met, I asked you, when I did your introduction, what would you like to be referred to as? You know, because like I said, you're a man that wears many hats. You know, you're heavily involved in the community, former athlete, scholar, you know, however you want to call it. But you told me you just wanted to be referred to as a man of God.
For sure. If I couldn't do nothing without God, I'm just letting him use me as a vessel for the community, for life, for just everything. So, yeah, a man of God is the perfect way to describe me.
That's dope, man. That's dope. But for the people who might not, we're going to tap into your story in a minute because it's extremely inspirational. You've showed a tremendous amount of perseverance throughout your life. For sure. And that's one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on, because I know my listeners will be inspired from just hearing your story. Yeah. But for the people who might not know you as of yet, introduce yourself, man. Let them know who you are, what you all about.
My name is Marvin Skipper from 6 Mile in Davidson, Eastside. Born and raised in Detroit, went to Detroit Purge, and that's where I'm known for. From played with some good players in my past, future. Started a nonprofit organization called Youth for Bigger Than Life. I started that maybe 2 years when I came out of college. I wanted to get back to my neighborhood slash hood as if I went to the NBA. I know a lot of people speak on their hood, but they're not really involved in the hood, if that makes sense. So one thing for sure is I wanted to tap in with my neighborhood. My neighborhood loved me.
6 Mile in Davis.
6 Mile in Davis and 6 Mile 75, 7 Mile in Ryan. That's where I'm known from. But
okay,
just tapping in, man, and trying to do as much as I can.
I feel that for sure, man. Starting off by saying, you know, I am who I am, 6 Mile in Davidson, East 6 Mile. I'm the same way. Yeah. You know, I'm a proud product of Puritan Avenue, you know, born and raised on the west side. And that's probably one of the first things that I noticed about you. The way that I was introduced to you was on social media. And I saw that one of my friends in the Detroit public school system, she was teaching, and you came to her classroom to speak. And instantly, I wanted to know what you were talking about, because the kids seemed as if they were really in tune to what you were saying. And on the picture on Instagram, you, I want to say, was throwing up 6 Mile.
And east all side. East side,
yeah, you was throwing up the east side. My bad, my bees. You was throwing up the east side. You had like 20 some kids, and they was all throwing up their hood. You seen 7 Mile Puritan, because I was at Mumford, right?
4-4-9. That's most of them from that area.
Yeah,
four,
yeah.
Four, for sure.
Seeing Finkel everywhere. So I'm like, dang, that's what's up. To the point that you can get your message across to the kids and still be able to relate to them and have them still show a sense of pride in their, you know, neighborhood and not be, you know, corny with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I feel like one thing for sure with this generation, you got to relate to them. They're not respecting, I don't know if you cuss on here, but SHIT. They're not respecting none of that, because...
Hey, bro, from this point forward, you can say whatever the hell you want to say.
Facts.
We're going to keep this as real as possible, you feel me?
They don't respect shit, you feel me? And if you ain't been through it or been through it, they ain't respecting nothing. So my biggest thing is when I talk to the youth, when I kick it with the youth, I let them know, hey, you might see me in this suit and tie, but I'm from the trenches, just like you from the trenches. I went days without eating. My life's been cut off, you know what I'm saying? I've been through that government assistance. I've been through... everything you guys been through, but now it's just a little rougher. So I can relate, but if I would have grew up probably in this era, no telling what I would be doing. You know what I'm saying? Just because the sense of urgency is no mentors, no more. It's no more big homies. Like, one of them, I always tell this in every interview, every podcast I do, if it wasn't for the big homies in my neighborhood telling me, go home. You don't know, what are you doing out here at 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night? No, you're not selling no drugs. I don't care. Here got some money. Go home. Go to the gym. Do this. The kids these days don't have that. Everybody, like, they want to sell drugs. They see it on TV. They want to live that life. But thankful for the people who I grew up with, they wouldn't allow that.
No, that's real spill, man. I had big homies, too. Yeah. And if it wasn't for them, I don't think I would be in a position that I'm in. Because, like you said, I had a lot of people that were older than me in the neighborhood that would tell me that they were doing certain things and then tell me not to do it, which was mind-boggling, right? Because you see somebody getting money and they doing this and they might be having fun, but they stressing to you to not live that type of lifestyle.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and as a younger person, that's vital, man, because that's all you see. Yeah. But the great thing about you is that you put yourself on a stage where, and you allow what you do to be seen. especially like in the community. Like, for example, I seen also on social media before we connected, you was doing a turkey giveaway.
Yeah, I do it every year. That's like my fourth year coming up in December.
That's dope, man. You was you see the American Gangster.
Nino Dipper.
Yeah, you was on your Nino tip, yeah, bro.
That's what I be feeling like sometimes. Somebody got to do it, man. These kids sometimes don't eat. They don't eat at night. If I could, I would. I would do it every day if I could afford it. But I know around Christmas time it get rough when parents got to, you know, hey, do I get gifts or do I get some food?
Right. But
the kids want gifts. They don't. As a kid, I used to hate getting clothes. Yeah. I wanted toys, you know what I'm saying, gifts, stuff like that.
And then DTE in Detroit in November, December be high as hell.
So, yeah, you know, so my thing is I just try to help. That's just my biggest thing is you got to help somebody, man. If you go through a day without helping somebody, you ain't living. You're not. Every day you should be able to help somebody do something. Words of encouragement, some advice, spreading love, showing some love, giving a couple of dollars, doing something. You just got to – I'm a big firm believer of putting positive energy into the earth. And it always will come back to you tenfold. That's Bible. So
absolutely, man. It seems like you're really in touch with gratitude.
Yeah.
It's two words that come to mind when I think of you and I think of the things that you're involved in and what I've learned so far. It's gratitude. You seem like you're real grateful for the opportunities that have been presented to you. You're grateful for, you know, just being able to continue to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And more so than anything, bro, perseverance.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Because from your story, man, you have persevered tremendously. A lot of people know about you as far as athletics are concerned.
Yeah.
You went to one of the most prominent basketball schools in the city of Detroit, Pershing. You know, shout out to the Doughboys.
Probably the country, for sure.
For, you know, up top.
Yeah.
Most definitely, man. So tell us a little bit about your journey with basketball and how that has helped shape you and help you become the person that you are today.
I always tell us kids, parents, you should always put your kids in some type of sports. Sports teach you so much after basketball. I mean, sports is just so important. Teach you teamwork, teach you responsibility. It teach you to hold somebody accountable. It teach you so much. And when you get done with sports, you got to eventually either you're going to start your own business or you're going to work for somebody.
Right.
So teamwork is so important with the work world. You know what I'm saying? So it teaches basketball really taught me a lot, especially I know you guys know AW Canada, who was my high school coach, Coach Keith, Coach all the Pershing alumni are greats.
Right.
Me and him to this day, that's one of my biggest mentors. You know what I'm saying? Just all he done for me, even when I got older. Like, I could still call on him like, hey, man, I'm in a bind. I need about $2,000. And he'll be like, all right, I'm going to call you right back. And he'll call me back and say, hey, either he's going to wire it to me or, hey, come pick it up from my house or, hey, you know, I'll drop it off to you. So for me to have mentors in my life like that, it makes me I gotta pay it forward. So even Steve Smith, that went to Detroit Pershing, went to Michigan State, every time I talked to him, he said, you always gotta, no matter how high or how long you go, you always gotta reach out to the people behind you and pull them along with you, just as he did for me.
And dope.
So you gotta always tap in with the kids, for sure.
Most def. So you had a lot of people looking at you in high school, you know what I'm saying? Like, you was going crazy on the court.
Yeah.
And what was the injury you suffered at first?
I tore my Achilles going into my junior year at Michigan State. Playing up at Michigan State team camp.
Ah, okay.
So all the big schools fell off me. Eastern was still steady. Charles E. Ramsey was the coach at the time.
Wait, you said you were in high school playing at a camp in Michigan State?
So, you know, they had a team camps at Michigan State.
Right.
So I was up there with Pershing.
Okay.
Long story short, I could have went up and tip dunked it. But I went up, grabbed it, tried to go back off vertical, came down on somebody's ankle.
Damn.
On my ankle and fucked my shit up.
Yeah, Steve. So shortly after that, you start going into recovery mode. You know what I'm saying? You start going through your therapy and getting back right.
Yeah.
And then at what point did you realize about the heart condition?
So long story short with that, my junior year, I passed out in practice. I still think to this day it's because I didn't eat. But long story short, passed out in practice. They ran through the stress test, did all the tests. They couldn't find anything. But my doctor told me, he said, before you go to Eastern, I want to do a full body physical. So that's when it's called a catheter test.
Okay.
And that's when they go through your groin and they play with your heart. So long story short, when they did it, I flatlined. So you don't really pose a flatline during that procedure. So that's, I mean, your heart wasn't strong enough for the procedure.
Right.
So I flatlined the first time, woke up, had burnt marks all over me. You know, I thought I was just going in, going out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The thing so crazy was, on the way to the hospital that morning with my mom, I'm like, you know what? I got a weird feeling about this whole little situation. And she like, boy, you'll be all right. You know what I'm saying? But long story short, just going through that flatline, they was like, that's not normal. So they was like, you know what? Before you, you know, when you go, we still want to do another one on you before you actually go and enroll and stuff. So
right.
Long story short, I'm like, fuck. You know what I'm saying? I died. You know what I'm saying? How long was I dead? A, B, and C? Just asking a lot of questions. So the doctor was like, you know what? I don't want you playing basketball no more.
Damn.
Until I figure out what's going on, I'm like, okay. So long story
short. And how old are you?
I'm 16, 17. 17. So the first time I flatlined, it was 17. I'm sorry, I was 17, and this was around the city playoffs.
And at this time, you already committed?
Already committed, yeah.
So you had scholarship offers, yeah, you already committed?
Yeah, I already committed to Eastern Michigan. I'm going to Eastern, so I did the first test, I flatlined. The doctor like, you know what, I don't want you playing until we figure out what's going on. I'm like, yeah, all right. So long story short, I think we played Renaissance the next day. I couldn't leave my team out like that. So I played the next game. I had like 22 and 15 or something like that.
Went crazy.
So then the doctor called my mom the next morning. Like, you know, I thought I asked you not to let Marvin play. And my mom like, what are you talking about? She was like, he was like, well, you know, I'm not stupid. I'm opening up the free press this morning to see biggest day Marvin on the free press. So my mom like, you know.
You can't hide when you get 22 and 15.
But
bro.
I'm just like, man, all right, whatever. So he's like, you know what? Before you go to college, we want to do it again to see if your heart got stronger, A, B, and C. Now this is when me and my mom going, I'm like, yeah, I still don't feel good about this. Long story short, I flatline again. But this time, when I wake up, I'm still in the hospital. So I'm, you know, I'm still off the drugs. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking around, and I probably had the most people at Children's Hospital for in a waiting room probably ever. You know what I'm saying? Because when I woke up, I just see high school coaches, middle school coaches, elementary school coaches, cousins.
You're like, what the hell is all y'all doing here?
What the hell going on? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, but I'm so high off the shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, where my mom at? That's the first thing I want to know is where mom's at. So Everybody just moved to the side, and I see my mom in the back crying. So I'm like, oh, shit, with this man. You know what I'm saying? So she walked up to me. She was like, I'll explain to you when you wake up.
Yeah.
So I just went back to sleep. When I woke up, by this time, I'm in my room in the hospital. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking. Yeah. So I'm like, what's up? You know what I'm saying? She explained to me what was going on. Me being young and dumb, I just instantly started spazzing on my mom. Like, you know, what the fuck? You know, this is supposed to be our way out the hood. B, B, and C, why would you do this? A, B, and C. But now that I got older, I'm like, shit, anybody mama would have did that if they probably came in there and said, your baby died. What you want us to do? Any mother gonna say.
And when you say, like, what decision did she make? Or well, just to tell you,
I was a minor.
Right.
So me getting a defibrillator had to been up to my mother, if that makes sense.
So what you're saying is that the doctors recommended a defibrillator
to save my life.
Right, the piece to actually, like, crack your chest open and.
Well, they didn't crack. So it's like a little cut right here, and then it's just like a little pocket. So basically, right here.
So they recommended that you get the defibrillator to help your heart.
Yeah.
But your mom could have turned it down.
She could have, but of course, not knowing. One, and then two, anytime somebody...
Why even play around?
Yeah, so she's like, do whatever you got to do to save my baby.
Also, when you woke up, you already had the defibrillator
in. It wasn't me and her talk about it or nothing. It was
she just
like,
did it. Damn.
I mean, but that's...
But no, I see what you're saying, though. It's like, yeah.
If I had a son, and they talking about, well, what you want us to do? I don't give a fuck. Save my child.
And so, I'm sure that she followed... That was followed up shortly with, you have this defibrillator now, so now you can't hoop no more.
Yeah. And her my mom... she always told me have a secondary plan. That was her biggest thing, even when I was cold in basketball. She was like, you need a backup plan.
Yeah.
You always need a backup plan. I'm like, shut up, man. I'll be all right. You know what I'm saying?
I just dropped 22 and 15.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're going to be all right. Just keep doing what you're doing, and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. We're going to be all right. But now as I got older, I understand what she was trying to tell me.
Oh, that's dope, man. And shout out to your mama, man.
Yeah. You sent her together. That's my
OG. Shout out to your mama. I didn't even know that was your mama. Mm-hmm. I was walking by the nachos, the snack stand. Mm-hmm. And I see this lady, she said, baby, you want some nachos? And I was like, no, I'm okay. I think I'm all right. She looked at me, she opened up her eyes. She said, listen, I'm telling you, they good. And I was like, okay, I believe you. Bought some. I was too satisfied. Then I look up, you're like, yeah, that's my mama. I'm like, okay, that's what's up. That's what's up.
I love the OG, man. The OG really my backbone. That's my backbone for sure.
That's what's up, man. So, like, I just want to stress this to anybody that's listening right now. This man had to go through something that many of us never experienced, which is having something taken away from you and it's just totally outside of your control. And not only something taken away from you, something that you were dedicated to, and besides the dedication, actually great at, right?
Yeah, facts.
And it just changed in the blink of an eye. So I want to let anybody who's listening to this, I really want it to resonate with y'all. Things in life may happen and it might be outside of your control. But the way that you react and the way that you move forward is what determines your happiness and your standing. Because you talked to Skip today, like I said, or like you said earlier, it would seem as if you played in the league and you came back and you doing what former NBA players doing, bro. You helping the kids out. You in the classroom inspiring people. You still inspiring people on the court, putting games together. You still, you know, helping the community out during the holiday season with turkey giveaways. So I just want you to be an example to anybody in Detroit who's going through it right now, because as you know, a lot of people that we grew up with and people that's in the city right now, they still going through shit.
Yeah, it's worse. It's definitely worse. It's 10 times worse now.
You see what I'm saying? So anybody who's going through anything, listen to this man's story and be reminded that perseverance is critical, and the way that you move forward is way more important than that instance when something happens that really puts you on a different trajectory. Like, man, I played high school football at Cass Tech, right? So I started off playing. I had never played PAL or anything like that because I was always over the weight limit. I was a big kid. But I get to high school and the shit started going good, right? I'm playing football. I'm playing with my homies. It's going good. And I played Crockett. And you know, I'm from the west side. I ain't really fuck with the east side like that. So I'm already like, fuck Crockett. You know what I'm saying? It's an east side school. I blow my knee out. I got a torn ACL, MCL, a fractured tibia bone, and torn tendons. So fuck my whole knee up, football over with, right? And I had to find my way in terms of trying to figure out what was next, right? I only say that and share that with you to say that shit don't compare at all to the shit that you went through, bro. You see what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people got stories, and I only say that because I was real pent up over that years back, or like when I was going through it, like, damn, like feeling like that's the end of the world, or feeling like, you know, feeling like you in despair.
Yeah, for sure.
But you got to be reminded that, like, people go through shit that's way more critical than that, bro. Like, waking up in the hospital room, and then even beyond that, people bounce back way stronger.
Yeah, absolutely.
From steeper shit.
Yeah, and it's not easy. It's definitely not easy because through that process, depression, all type of crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You gotta think, I've been playing basketball since I've been 6.
Right. Facts.
So that's like 12, 13 years straight. Waking up in the morning, 3 days, training with this person, training with that person, playing with NBA players, playing against NBA players. And I'm like, well, shit, if I can play against them, I'm ready. And right. For that to be taken away from you, it's steep. You see what I'm saying? So at that point, my first 2 years at Eastern was rough, like super rough, like because I was still in that mindset of depressed. You know what I'm saying? I was super depressed. I'm around the team the whole time, but I can't play. People ask me, hey, when are you coming back? I don't know if I can come back or if I can't come back.
Right. You're probably looking at them competing like, I know I could have helped out this game. Or I know I could have.
Through Eastern, you know what I'm saying? Because they ran through the bigs.
Yeah.
So at that time, and then we had Carlos Matlock. Well, I don't know if you're familiar with Carlos Matlock, played at Murray, right?
No.
Brandon Bowdry played at Taylor Truman, like the 06. And then we had Will Cooper, who went to Persian with me, and then Solomon Ferris, who went to Osborne, which was our rival in high school. We went from being rivals in high school to actually being college roommates, and that's one of my best friends to this day.
Dope.
So just watching all them playing and losing games and stuff like that, and I'm just like, you know what? I could have helped out. You know what I'm saying? But
what would you say to somebody who might be going through a hard time, whether it has anything to do that's tied in with sports or not? Like, what would your advice be to somebody who's trying to, like, overcome something that they feel like they can't quite shake?
Well, it's three things I'm going to tell you. One, okay. You need to get closer with God. That's if my pastor, and I wasn't locked in with my pastor as I am, and being around teammates, like the great teammates I had, I don't think I would have got through it. Two, if it's something real serious, you need to find help. You know what I'm saying? I think one thing, as us being African-American, we are, I don't need nobody to talk to. Why am I going to talk to that person about my problems? Or I don't need to talk. That's for crazy people. No, it ain't. It's if you need somebody to get that, you need to get that stuff off your chest or somebody not going to judge you and go forward. And then three, you need to be around people who love you. You got to be around a good camp. If it's one friend, two friends, if it's family, you need to be around love around that time because that's the only thing that's going to get you through that tough time. Because when you stay by yourself and locked in them doors, locked in them rooms, you're not gonna get. It's gonna take longer for you to get through it, because you're by yourself. So you need to be around love, and you need to get closer with God for sure. And if that doesn't work, then you need to, you know, get some help.
That's dope, man. That's dope. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah.
Cause like I said, my listeners, anybody who hears that, they're gonna be able to take something away from it.
Yeah, for sure.
Most deaf, man. Before we get up out of here, Skip. Is there anything that you would like to let people be aware of like stuff you got going on, anything going on with the nonprofit, or just anything in the city of Detroit that you might want to do, or anything you trying to put together? Like, let's put it all on the flow. You just let people know. You feel me?
Well, the December, I got the food drive coming up this year at Persian. I think I always do it like the weekend before Christmas. So say Christmas fall on a Tuesday or Wednesday, I'll do it the Saturday before. So that's something for sure I got. I'm working on putting a comedy show together.
You gonna get on stage, bro?
No, not me. Not me. I might try to invest and maybe have Jess Hilarious, B Simone, or some funnier people than me come and bring a crowd out, and then just all the proceeds go to my to food drive and my back to school drive I usually do. So
dope, man. That sounds like a good idea, bro. For yes, sure.
Just tapping in, and if anybody, like you said, anybody got something going on where they need me, reach out to me. I feel like strength is in numbers. So if we all come together, we can make Detroit better together. But if once one person be selfish or acting like they too Hollywood or big time, then I just mess the whole situation up. So I need all humble people who don't mind helping, who don't mind picking up trash, who don't mind doing none of that stuff, just to reach out to me and let's make Detroit great.
Off top, where for people that want to find you and connect with you, where can they find you on, all your social media outlets and all that good stuff?
Well, if it's pertaining to the nonprofit, Youth Are Bigger Than Life, we got Instagram and Facebook. If it's just on some personal, if you want to laugh, you can follow my personal account, Skip_Skipper, and Marvin Skipper on Facebook.
For sure, man. For sure. Well, Skip, I want to say, man, that I think that it was a blessing for me to meet you, because your story, the things that you represent, they align with what I'm on.
Yeah.
Off top, the things that you're involved in, they align with what I'm involved in, what I'm passionate about. And, brother, I'm glad that I was able to see that video with you in the classroom with those kids that day, yeah, throwing up y'all sets.
For sure.
That inspired me and helped me come up with some ideas for my mentorship program as well, bro. So, man, best of luck to you with all of your future endeavors, everything with the nonprofit, everything that you got going on, everything that you got going on in Ohio. The goals that we talked about earlier that you was trying to accomplish, man. Everything that you're trying to do, I wish you the best of luck, man. And the genuineness within your heart, I know that anything that you put your mind to is going to succeed, bro. You're going to prosper.
I appreciate that big time.
For sure, man. Well, we're going to get up out of here, man. I want to thank everybody for taking the time to listen to this. I don't care if you was waking up, getting your kids ready to go wherever y'all got to go. I don't care if you was in the shower. I don't care if you was playing that new Madden and just came out and you was listening to this podcast. I really appreciate it. Once again, this is Sean B. Speaks Truth. We speak truth like we in the booth with the pastor on the other side. We're going to get up out of here. Holla at y'all next time.